Jumping in tonight and going to John 17. John 17 is the what we'd call the real Lord's Prayer. We call the Lord's Prayer our Father which art in heaven, and that's a good prayer. I'd call that our example prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But John 17 is actually Jesus, really his prayer. And this whole chapter is Jesus praying to his Father before he goes and dies and goes through all that. And we'll join in John 17. And the title of the message is Jesus Prayed for Us. Jesus prayed for us. It says verse 8. For I have given unto you the words which thou, I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And I was with them in the world, and I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast givest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, save the son of perdition. That's Judas, by the way, and that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, that these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Jesus prayed for us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that Jesus prayed for us. Thank you, Lord, in your goodness. You recorded this intimate prayer, Father, and word for word we see what was prayed for us, Lord, 2,000 years ago by our Savior before he left earth. And Lord, they're very powerful, very important, very sober words, and I pray that we would understand how to pray and what to pray and the truths about prayer. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight, give us attentive minds and hearts and bodies, and I pray that we would hear from you tonight. I pray the Spirit of God to be speaking, Lord, and I pray good things would happen in this service, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, Jesus comes, and he asks, the first thing he does, he asks for some blessings that he already deserves because he's earned them. Verse 1 through 5, he says, Father, this hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. In these verses, Jesus is saying, hey, I've done the things you've asked me to do. I've gotten to this point, and now I want you to do this blessing. And I do think that's biblical. I do think when you can come to God and say, I have done this thing, Lord, or Lord, do this, and present an argument to God of why something should be done. Moses did that, and different people of the Bible did that. And I think you ought to, once you've done what you can do, come to God and say, Lord, I have prayed about this. I've fasted about this. I've done everything I can possibly do. So if just right now with all the financial problems in the world, we say, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have spent my money wisely. I've tithed. I've worked as hard as I can. And now, Lord, I can't do anything else. I prayed about this. I fasted. I ask you to bless now because I've done everything I can do. And Jesus has obeyed the Father, and now he's asking for the blessing from that. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus finished the work that God gave him to do. Wow. That's an amazing thing. He finished all God gave him to do. I hope that when I get towards the end of my life, I can say that. That I finished the work. I know I am not there yet, for sure. Finishing the work. What has God given you to do that you know of? What do you know that you should have done, you haven't done, or you should be doing that you're not doing right now? Are you doing the work that God gave you to do? After this, he starts praying for his disciples. And this is our second section. First, Christ asks for some deserved blessings. And secondly, he prays for his disciples. And he begins to pray for them. And one of the interesting things about this is he just prays for them. In verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them, which thou hast given me. Now, in that verse, he doesn't say what he prays for them. He just says, I pray for them. And I think that's very profound there, because God just comes and Jesus just goes and says, I'm praying for them. And I'm putting them before you, God, and I'm praying for them. Sometimes when a prayer prays, like when you have Brother Williams here, you'll hear them pray for somebody, but they might just say, Lord, I pray for Brother so-and-so. I pray for Miss so-and-so. I pray for so-and-so. Lord, I just pray for them. Sometimes just praying for them and just asking for them. You don't even know what to ask. Sometimes you don't know their needs, but you just pray for them, and you're just lifting them up to God. And Jesus prayed for them, and he took time to pray for them specifically. He prayed for some specific things, but just notice that he prays for his disciples, and he prays for his followers. First thing he actually prayed for specifically was for the Father to keep them. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I am come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. First of all, he prays for us to be kept, for us not to be lost, for us not to be taken away. And can I ask you this? Have you been praying for each other to be kept? Amen. Boy, the devil comes and snatches some of us away sometimes. Kept in God's presence, kept in God's power, kept in church, kept close to God, kept from being devoured by the evil one. I pray you'd keep those. Listen, I don't assume that you're going to backslide, and you don't assume I'm going to backslide, but you know what? Are we praying for the Lord to keep each other? He says, I'm praying, Father, for those you've given me, that you'd keep them and that they wouldn't be lost. Next, he prayed they would be one. He prays this very strongly and very specifically and a lot in this chapter. Verse 11, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That they may be one as we are. So Jesus prays, God, Jesus the Son and God the Father are one. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. 1 John 5:7 says. So he says, that me and you, Father, we're one. We are one. And I pray for them that you'd keep them and that they would be one, just like we are one. God wants us to be one in him, just like him and the Father are one. No division, no me, just one. And God says, I want them to be one, one mind, one heart, one spirit. As the Bible says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not a bunch of different doctrines, not a bunch of different ideas that we want to do, and not a bunch of different agendas. We're all kind of thinking of ourselves and what I want. Isn't it sad where Jesus, and we'll read later where he prays for all believers in the future to be one. Isn't it a strange thing that churches have fights and splits and battles and everything else? When Jesus is praying for them to be one. And many a church has been split over what color carpet or whatever other thing they want to fight over in the church, and who does this job and who gets to do this. And God says, I want you to be one. I'm so glad we have a church that's not divided. We don't have, I don't have time. I can't watch my back from my friends. I'm too busy fighting the devil, my enemy, in front of me. And if you want to stab me in the back, you'll probably be able to stab me. And I hope that you're so busy fighting the devil that I could stab you if I wanted to, although I wouldn't want to, because you know what? Because we are not fighting each other. We're not focused on ourselves and each other and battles within and stuff. Well, there's no time for the church to battle within. There's time to reach the world without. I understand if there's heresies going on in the church, they need to be dealt with, and the Bible gives room for that. But God wants us to be one, and he prays for that. And then next he prays that they may have Jesus' joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 13, and now I come to thee that these might, that, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. If you go back a couple chapters, John 15 and verse 11, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. The joy of the Lord comes from Jesus Christ. And he says, Father, I pray that my joy would be in them. our happiness, our earthly joys and our happiness and our fun is not the joy of Jesus Christ. And he's praying that our joy, that his joy would be inside of us and it'd be full of the joy of Jesus Christ. It would be fulfilled. It would be complete inside of them. So he's praying for them that they would have the joy of Jesus fulfilled in themselves. And that's Jesus' prayer that you'll have his joy inside of you, not the world's joy, but his joy. Next, he prays for them to keep them from the evil of the world. And boy, that's a good prayer. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Dave Huggins, he came to me, I don't know, it was a year and a half ago, I guess, when his son was on tour. And he says, they're going to be in Las Vegas this week. And he says, we need to pray for them there. In Las Vegas, it's Sin City, and that's wise. You can't keep them out of the world. I would love to be able to keep my kids from all evil in the world, except for they got to go out the door. But you know what? You may not be able to pray like Jesus didn't pray that he would keep us out of the world, but he'd keep us from the evil of the world. And can I say this? You can still have innocence, and you can still keep out of the evil of the world if you want to. It'll take some turning off of the TV. It'll take not going to certain places. But you know what? That's Jesus' prayer, is you would be kept out of the evil of the world. They got to keep it from the evil. Are you praying for each other? Are we praying for each other? Are you praying for me? And am I praying for you that we'd be kept from the evil of this world? Not that they can't keep them out of the world. I pray that thou shouldest, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Remember the Lord's Prayer? When we call the Lord's Prayer, where he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Maybe some of us fall and don't stay strong because we do not pray to be kept from the evil. And we're too close to temptation because we're not praying protection from it. And we're not praying for, like Dave is praying for Tyler and his kids, and they're in Las Vegas. But can I tell you, you don't have to go to Las Vegas to be tempted and drawn away. So we need to be praying, and maybe you should pray for yourself, Lord, keep me from the evil that always gets me. And maybe you should be praying for everybody else around you and other people in the church. Keep them from the evil of this world. Now, not keep us from out of the world, but keep us from the evil. And that was Jesus' prayer, that we'd keep us out of the evil of this world. Next, he prayed for our sanctification. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify basically means to make holy, to set apart, to make something holy. And he says, Lord, I'm praying that you will sanctify them and make them clean. Jesus is praying for your sanctification. And no wonder the Bible says this is the will of God, even your sanctification, as you should abstain from fornication. The will of God is you be holy. Holiness is underrated. Holiness is not talked about like it should be. God wants you to be clean and holy, and that's his prayer, that his disciples would be holy. And he prayed for them to be holy. So that's he's praying for his immediate disciples, the ones he knew, the ones that God had already given him. He's praying for the 12 and the 70 that were around him, and he prays for them in these things. By the way, those prayers were fulfilled in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4. What happened? They became one. Remember they were one accord in one place praying? Remember they were one praying for God to do great things? All of a sudden the power of God came, the Holy Spirit came, and the church went forth mightily and reached the world. Jesus' prayer for them is they'd be one, that they'd be holy, that they would be kept from the evil, and that God would keep them. And the only one that was lost was Judas, and the rest of them went off and prayed together in the upper room, and the power of God came, and all of them are kept because Jesus prayed for them. What a great thing that Jesus prayed for the disciples. But then later in the chapter, he moves forward, and those prayers were answered, and that's great. But he moves forward, and he begins to pray for us today. He moves forward in the future, says, I pray for these around me here. I pray for Peter and Paul and John and Mary and all them. I pray for them, Lord, you'd keep them. Thank you for giving them to me. But now I pray for those who are going to believe in the future, and that's you and me. And he's going to begin to pray for us. And we join that in verse 20. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. What does he pray for us? First of all, he prays for us to be one. Verse 21, if they may be one as thou art in me and I in thee, they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. It's interesting. He says, I want them to be one. And let me read verse 22 and go back to verse 21 in the second here. And the glory which thou gavest them, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. There he is again. Verse 23, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them, and thou as thou hast loved me. It's strange. He repeats in three different verses, I want them to be one. I want them to be one. I want them to be one. But then twice he says the reason God wants us to be one, he says that the world will know that you sent me. And interesting. The end of verse 21, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. 23, in the middle of verse, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. And thou hast loved me. And it's interesting, Jesus says this to the disciples, herein shall all men know that you're my disciples and that you have love one for another. I don't necessarily know it, and I don't understand it, and I don't necessarily see how it works. I just know it's biblical, so it must be true. The world's going to know we're true because of the way we love each other. And that's what he says. If we treat each other with love and kindness, I work on this constantly on myself and try to fix this thing, showing love and saying I love you and try to tell people I love and try to show affection. Sometimes I think we joke too much and have too much satire and things, but the world needs to know that we're one. You know no unsaved person is going to want. No unsaved person is going to want to be in a church where they're fighting with each other, where they're gossiping about each other. You know, when I was first in church, I was only there about 2.5 years, and then our denomination back in Oregon decided to sue our church, and it was a big mess because the denomination, it was back in Nashville, Tennessee. They called some people in our church and tried to get those people to vote out our pastor when our pastor was on vacation, and it was really, really crooked and bad. And then they couldn't do that, so they decided to sue us all individually. And they had a lawyer come to every one of our houses and hand us an individual thing of you're being sued by this denomination. And I wasn't home. My mom got this court thing from a lawyer that did this group is suing your son who goes to this church. And I don't think that impressed her a whole bunch. And when you know, when they had that strife, there was just about 5 or 7 families of the denomination convinced to try to change a church and kick out the pastor. And then there was the core of the church. Every single worker in the church, literally every Sunday school teacher and soul winner, every laborer in the church stayed at the church. And about 7 families fought against it. And we had a vote, and the majority of the church stayed with what we were doing with our church and didn't go to the denomination. But our church ran at that time about 285 people. And we kept every single one of our workers, and everybody who was really involved in the church, we kept all them. And that was about 85 or 90 people. But we only lost about 45 people that really were against it, that were with those families. But can I tell you, our church went from about 285 to about 85? Because a whole bunch of people who just saw Christians fighting just said, I'm not going back. We had about 150 people who just disappeared. And unfortunately, most of those people did not turn out real well. Why? Because we weren't one. Now, that was the devil. We actually did everything we could to get out of the fight. The church literally just gave them everything. We gave them the land. We gave them the property. We gave them the building fund. It wasn't the denominations. We just gave it all to them and said, we got to get out of this fight. It's not biblical. We won't go to court against them. So we gave up everything, gave it to them. However, it's still just the fight there. It's not a good thing. One. I think that's why Jesus has people go to people and talk to them individually, face to face, because you can settle and stay one without having a big war and things. So you want them to be one. His next prayer is, first of all, because the world would know that we're in the truth if we have love one for another. Secondly, he prayed for us that we could be with him and see his glory. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. It's an interesting prayer there that we would be with him and see his glory. I pray that they would be where I am and that they would see my glory. You know what God really wants and really, really likes? He likes us to see just how powerful and great he is. He likes us to see him high and lifted up, like Isaiah saw him. And God wants you to really see Jesus as he is. That's his prayer, that you see him as he is. He wants you to see him as he really is. He doesn't want you to see the little picture of him hanging on the cross. He wants you to see. He wants us to be seen in his glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And third thing, he prayed for them, that the love of God would be in them. He prayed the love of God would be in us. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the Lord hath, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these whom thou hast sent me, these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared to them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. He says, I am praying that the love that I have would be in them, and the love that you've given me would be in them. So he's praying for us to have that kind of love. Of course, that's his prayer for us. I hope, as you realize that Jesus prayed for the Father to keep them, that they may be one, that they may have the joy of Jesus fulfilled in themselves, that he'd keep us from the evil of the world for our sanctification, and then for us to be one, and that we could be with him and see his glory, and the love of God would be in us. That was what Jesus prayed for us. Those are some desires of Jesus. So those are some things that we should certainly shoot for, but I think also the example of Jesus is we should be in prayer, and we should pray for each other. Jesus prayed for us. And the question is, do we pray for each other? Do we pray for each other? This is commanded in the Bible for us to pray for each other. Do we pray for each other? Listen, if you pray for someone, you'll have a hard time looking down on them. You might say, you might think, man, that person is ruining their life. Boy, they're making terrible decisions. Boy, they're doing something crazy. But when you get on your knees and say, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, they're just going to ruin their life. And you're getting in communication with God, and the Lord's there with you, and you're talking to God about them. And you don't say unholy things of gossip. You might say, Lord, they're going to ruin their life, and Lord, they're going to mess everything up, God. But you begin to pray with the heart of God for them. And you say, Lord, I pray you'd help them not to make those mistakes. And Lord, forgive me because I haven't prayed for them enough. And Father, I pray you'd just help them. Give them strength, Lord. Give them protection. And you begin to change your heart when you begin to pray for people. One of the worst things gossips do sometimes is said, we need to really pray for so-and-so. And you say, okay, let's pray for him, Lord. I mean, pray for him. Really pray for them. Jesus prayed for them. Do we pray for each other? It's commanded in the Bible. It's commanded that we pray for each other. And I think many of you are good prayers and pray for each other, and that's so important. That's probably why we're still here today. The Bible says in James and chapter 4 and verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one for another and pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can I tell you, God says that prayer makes a big difference when you pray for each other. Who might have fallen because you weren't praying? Who might have fallen because I wasn't praying for them? Who might be gone next week? Might I be gone? Might someone dear to us fail in their spiritual life? Might someone be kept out of danger because you're praying for them? You've got the time. You have to make the time to pray for each other. You ought to make some kind of prayer list. And I got my prayer list in my Bible here. And here's a prayer list. And it has names on it. And we ought to be praying for each other and praying for God to do things and praying for God to work and praying for each other's protection. You children are praying for us adults, and us adults are praying for you children. The layman should be praying for the preacher, and the preacher should be praying for the layman. You ought to be praying for each other. You might not know everybody in the room's name, but get a couple people's name and pray for them. If someone looks like they're hurting in battle and say, can I pray for you this week? Can you tell me what to pray for? But it says it commands you to pray for each other. Paul prayed for other believers. We can see that all over the Bible, but I'll just read it to you in Colossians where he says it. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul prayed for believers. Jesus prayed for us. Paul prayed for believers. We're commanded to pray. It says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I'm always praying for you guys. I'm praying always for you guys. Romans chapter 15, it's commanded. Paul prayed for believers. Jesus prayed for believers. Paul talks about prayer in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me for your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them who do not believe in Judea, and that may my service, which I have toward Jerusalem, be accepted of the saints. You know what he says there? Paul said, I need you to strive together with me in prayer. Striving together. You know, striving's fighting. Fighting. That's what it means. So let's, Matthew, come on up here, and Timmy, come on up here, and Jess, come on up here. So Matthew, you go over there. You stay over there. Timmy, go over here, and Jess comes over here. So Timmy, come on. So you're a Christian. Matthew, come on a little closer, and he's the devil, and you're striving against him. But he's just push against him, but the devil's pushing you back. Okay? Just push. Don't fight. I know better to use Matthew. Matthew always has to ham it up. Always 100% of the time. All right? Push against each other, and Tim and Matthew's going to slowly push Timmy backward. Okay? But now Jess joins in and starts praying with him, starts pushing him back. And so now, because they're striving together, and then I join in, and I start pushing him back real hard, and you can be seated. But you know what happens? Let me do that again. Step back. Never mind. That felt good. But you know what? The devil, it gets pretty heavy out there, doesn't it? And some of us are, and you're looking at the guilty one here. I never ask anybody to pray for me. I do it generically. Oh, pray for me. But you know what? I just don't. And some of you are like me. I just can't tell you, man. I'm about to kill somebody, or I'm struggling, or I'm depressed, or I'm miserable, man, or hide the knives or something. I just can't do it. I should, and I try to make myself do it. And sometimes I'll call somebody and I'll say, will you pray for me? I'm just struggling. But I really battle to do it. But you know what? I'd probably get a lot more victory if I did. Pray for one another. Paul said, I want you, and you don't have to be too specific even. Paul said, just pray for me and strive together in your prayers for me, that I be delivered from these evil people. Striving together in prayers. Are you fighting with somebody right now? Who can you say you're, let me rephrase that. You're probably fighting with somebody. Let me rephrase that. Are you fighting with somebody against Satan right now? Are you in the war with somebody? Are you hand in hand saying, I am striving together. I might lose some sleep over this. I might lose some food over this, fasting, but I am fighting for you. That's the way we're supposed to do it, striving together. It says, striving, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the whole, of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So they're laboring fervently in prayers for each other. I want to finish up with this verse. It's in 1 Samuel in chapter 12. And I think it's a very convicting verse to me. And Samuel speaking to Israel, and he says this in 1 Samuel 12, 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Samuel says, God forbid that I would not pray for you and sin against God. I think I've sinned many times against God and not praying for people. I wish I prayed for everybody who needs prayed for every single day. I wish I was better at praying. Listen, folks, I want to say Jesus took time and God records what he prayed about for you and I. You need to take time and be praying for each other. We need to be praying for each other. God forbid that we should fail to pray for each other. We all need prayer, don't we? We need you to pray for each other. Hey, listen, there's 45 people in this room. If you wrote down every person in here, you could pray through that. You don't know most of the people. You might not pray for 10 seconds for each one of them, but you can get it done pretty quick. But listen, there's people you know who need prayer. And you're supposed to be a warrior in prayer for them. Got to turn off the TV. Turn off the internet. Turn off the game for a few minutes. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Get apart to pray. And pray for him. You won't be so frustrated with him if you're praying for him. Not only because they'll change, that'll happen, but also because your heart will change towards them to compassion instead of frustration and anger. Jesus prayed for us before we even got there. Jesus prayed for you and me and the disciples, and because he prayed for them, they made it. God forbid that we should sin and cease to pray for each other. I pray always for you. Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for the Father to keep them. He prayed they may be one. He prayed the joy of Jesus would be in them. He prayed for to keep them from the evil of the world. He prayed for their sanctification. He prayed for us to be one. He prayed that we could be with him and see his glory. He prayed the love of God to be in us. We can pray for each other for those things. And we can get to praying. God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, I pray to be people who pray for each other. And Lord, that's why one reason you made a church, and it's crazy for people to be out of church because the people in church aren't praying for them because they're not in church. They don't belong to a church, not part of a body. What a sad thing. Lord, we need to pray. We need to pray for each other. And Lord, this message is pretty simple, but Jesus prayed for us. He showed us the example that we need to be praying for each other. Help us be praying. Lord, I think that those boys on tour group did good because the dad of one of them knew that they needed to pray for in a wicked city. Lord, all of us need that diligence and that attentiveness to prayer for each other. Help us to have it, Lord. And I pray we'd pray for each other. I pray we'd strive together in prayer for each other. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you praying for others? Are you praying for